tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Vayishlach. We begin with a shaila. Reuven and Shimon are neighbors in an apartment building in a very fancy neighborhood. And they have behind the building a parking lot for the tenants, where each tenant is given two spaces. And Reuven, Shimon, they both own two very fancy cars. And they heard that recently there were a lot of car thefts in the area, and they were getting a little bit nervous. So Reuven approached Shimon and said, "Listen, as you know, there's a lot of car thefts, and we have these two fancy cars packed, each of us, behind the building. So I'm getting a little nervous. I had an idea. Why don't we together go into pay for an installation of cameras? We'll have a camera that's on the spot. So this way, if ever, you know, chas v'sholom, a car gets stolen, we'll be able to have it on recorded and see who it was, what, and whatever, and be able to maybe help to find the car in the case it gets stolen." So Shimon says, "Well, how much does something like this cost to install?" So he said, "Yeah, I did a little bit of research. It's about 8,000 shekels. So we'll go into, you know, 4 and 4. We should pay 4,000. So Shimon says, "Nothing doing. It's a lot of money. Camera, I'm not interested." So he says, "Yeah, but it's important." And he tried. Shimon still, "No, not interested." Okay. A few weeks later, wouldn't you know it, a car gets stolen from the lot. And guess whose car? Shimon. One of Shimon's cars got stolen. So he, of course, calls the police. The police says some, you know, searching. Yeah, but they couldn't come up with anything. And then Shimon said, "Wait a minute. I know. I'm sure it's on the film because Reuven put in the camera himself. You know, he installed the camera and he didn't." So he approaches Reuven and he says, "Reuven, I know you know, you put in this camera. Can you please check out the, you know, the film and see, maybe get help me get some information to try and get my car back?" So Reuven says, "Sure, no problem. Just give me 4,000 shekels and I'll give you all the information you want." So he goes, "What? That's not fair. You know, there's a concept like that in halacha that if somebody, you know, you can help somebody, it doesn't cost you anything, and you have to help a person, and if you don't, that's midas tom, etc." So Reuven said, "Listen, I wanted you to go in half with me. You didn't want to go in half with me, and why should I show you the film? It's not fair. I want to pay half. Fine, I'm willing." So that was the shaila that came up. Who is right? The answer given is that it's not correct to say on Reuven's side, "Ze lo chaser," he was not chaser anything. He is chaser. He had to pay the full price of the installation of this camera. And this is after he really wanted Shimon to go in with him, and he asked him, he begged him, and then he said, no. So I said, "Fine, you don't want to go into it, okay." He put it up himself. He wanted Shimon. Shimon didn't want. So that's not called, "Well, you're not losing anything." "I am losing anything. I wanted you to be in business with me. I wanted you to help me put this camera up. And you didn't put it up, so I am chaser. And therefore, if you want the information, you have to pay." And that's how it comes out. He says, as an aside, what does he compare it to? He said, similarly, imagine, very similar shaila. Somebody lives in an apartment building, and he lives in one of the upper stories, and there's no elevator. So he wants to install an elevator. So he approaches the tenants and who wants to, you know, go in with them to, you know, put in and install an elevator. And the tenants say, "Nobody wants. No, nobody's interested." Okay, so the guy puts it in himself. And of course he has a key and he locks it up to just when he can use it, when he, you know, for himself. And then what? Then the tenants come and say, "Well, give us a key. We want to use it." You know, you're not chaser anything. He is chaser because he had to pay all the money for the elevator, and why should he let everybody use it for free? Well, you're not chaser. I am chaser. You're supposed to go in with me, and you didn't. So same thing with the camera, and therefore, in fact, Reuven does have a taina. He doesn't have to show the pictures unless Shimon coughs up the 4,000 shekels. Next, speaking of cameras, there was a Ganenet, a kindergarten teacher, and she brought in a photographer to take pictures of the class, the kids. So she was a professional, the photographer, professional photographer, brought a very nice backdrop, like a background, very, very professional looking, looked like a nature scene or whatever, very beautiful, colorful. And then, the kids, one by one or whatever, they would take pictures behind, in front of this backdrop. Okay, very nice. So she took a morning to call the pictures of the kids. And before the photographer left, the teacher said, listen, there were four kids that for some reason they couldn't make it today. Now, is there any possibility that you can come back tomorrow just to finish up with those last four kids? So the photographer said, yeah, no problem. I'll just leave my backdrop here. I'm going to schlep it. It's here already. Oh, it's very big and heavy, whatever. I'll just leave it here. And I'll come back tomorrow and finish up the last few kids. Okay, wonderful. So what did the teacher do? No sooner that the photographer left, the teacher picked up the phone and called her family, her son, daughter-in-laws, whatever, and says, bring the kids, her grandchildren, they'll bring the kids over, and I have a beautiful backdrop to take pictures in front of. So all the kids came, 30 grandchildren, they all came with their parents and this, and they took some beautiful pictures against this backdrop, right? Okay, so next day, the photographer showed up, finished up the pictures, and the teacher said to the photographer, I just want to thank you also, it's very nice, you left your backdrop here when I got my beautiful family pictures. The photographer said, "You what? You use my backdrop?" He said, "Excuse me, I think you should pay me for that." He said, "What do you mean pay you for that? What did I? I said, "I want to pay you for that. This is my backdrop. I paid a lot of money, invested a lot of money in this thing, and you're using it, and you should pay me for the usage of it. Why not? I mean, it's mine. Well, why not?" And he was, "Oh, I was just taking a picture in front of it." Right. That was the Shaila that came up. Who's right? Does she have to, the kindergarten teacher have to pay the photographer or not? So, on the one hand, you could say that, like the Taina the photographer had, invested a lot of money in this fancy backdrop and whatever, and this person's using it, they should pay for it. However, it comes out that that's not the case. Why? Because it's true that she really, the kindergarten teacher, should not have used the backdrop without permission. That's right. No right to really use it. However, to Mechayev, to obligate her to pay money for it, that Mestama not. Why? Because she really didn't take anything from the photographer. They just stood in front of this backdrop, didn't take anything from her. Similar to the Gemara in Krisus, famous Gemara in Davav, that says, Kol mare vereach ein behem yishum me'ila. That you're not allowed to have any pleasure from Hekdesh. And if one does, he's over on the Yisr called Mi'ila. He's over, he's Ma'al Behegdish. However, the Gemara says, if one gets pleasure by listening to Hegdish, or by looking at Hegdish, or smelling Hegdish, he's not over on the Aver of getting pleasure from Hegdish. Why? Because those things are abstract. There's no mamashut to them. A voice, a sound, what you see, you can't touch it. So Mela, same thing over here. Nobody touched the backdrop. They just, it's like saying, I see somebody walking by a nice house and I take a picture of them. So the person in the house can come running out, "Hey, you owe me money because you took a picture and used my house as a background." I didn't take anything from you. You can't obligate me for taking. So Pashtus, therefore, again, it wasn't right to use it, but to have to mechayev the person to pay, the kindergarten teacher to pay, some are not. And Rav Nissen Karelitz Shlita adds that another reason why to patur the teacher is dafka, if you use something, he says, where it's a derecha olam l'shalem alav. Even could be something maybe not so, a little bit abstract or whatever, but if people normally pay for such a thing, so then you have a right to charge for it. But he says people would not normally charge to, you know, stand in front of a thing and thing. You're not, you know, you're not asking the photographer to take the picture. You're just standing there in front of it. Can I use your bag? Yeah, normally you don't charge for such things. And therefore, since that's the case over here, he says we would not obligate the teacher to have to pay. Moving right along, cute little Maisa here. Told by Rav Asher Zev Luria, he's the Minahel of the Talmud Torah, Oral Torah in Ramat Elchana. He said that he had one of the kids in his cheder, was a healthy kid, fine, nothing wrong. But all of a sudden, he had something very strange occurred with this child. What's that? Whenever he would get hungry, and he would eat, but he wouldn't get satiated. He just kept eating and eating, and they gave him more food, and he kept eating and eating, but he never felt full. He never felt satiated. He couldn't fill himself up. And he just was hungry and hungry. No matter what they gave him to eat, he wouldn't stop. He just kept eating. So the doctors couldn't figure out what is going on with this kid. So the father came to Rav Chaim Knievsky, Shlita, and he has asked him, what should we do? My kid doesn't stop eating. So Rav Chaim told him, check your mezuzahs. Okay. So the father went home, took down the mezuzahs, and had him checked. So sure enough, wouldn't you know it, on the main mezuzah of the house, the front door of the house, the sofer was checking the mezuzahs, found a very serious error. What? Instead of saying in the mezuzah, v'achalta v'savata, you'll be eaten and you'll be satiated, instead of v'achalta v'savata, it said v'achalta v'achalta. You'll eat and you'll eat. Instead of you'll eat and be satiated. So that's why the kid kept eating and eating. So it doesn't say the end of the story. I assume they fixed the mezuzah and all was good. Okay. Next. There's a Maisa, the Bachur, and he was at a junction, standing at a junction, want to hitch a ride. Catch a tramp, as they call it. So, sure enough, a car pulls up. The guy was driving it by himself. And the boy says, you going? No, he goes, yeah. He points to me, I come in, whatever. Fine, so the boy gets in the car. And he starts driving. And the boy noticed that the driver had this very serious look on his face. He didn't look like a very friendly guy, but more than just serious, very a threatening look on his face. So, and he didn't talk. He was very quiet. He didn't open his mouth, and he was just. So the boy was getting a little bit concerned, and when he really got concerned is when the man did say a few words. He sounded like he was speaking in Arabic. Sounded like he was an Arab. So he got really nervous, and the boy asked him, "Where do you live?" So the driver said, "In Gaza." So then he really got nervous, and he went into panic. He says, "This is an Arab, and he's taking me, and he doesn't look like he's, too happy. And that's it. Who knows where he's going to take me to his village? And this is going to kill me. And I don't know. What's he going to do? And he's heard these stories of these things, not so far fetched. And he says, "Oh, I have no other choice." He said to himself. And he quickly opened the door, and he jumped out of the car while it was moving, just to get away from the guy. He jumped out, and he was seriously injured. He was brought to the hospital. He made it through, but he was seriously injured from jumping out of the moving car. Anyways, what happens? He is in the hospital, and the driver shows up to the scene, and he starts talking in a regular Israeli accent. So what's going on? So happened to be, this was a regular Israeli. It wasn't a rare. But he said, they said, well, what were you doing? So he says, well, I just wanted to teach this boy a lesson not to hitchhike. So I pretended I was an Arab. I put on this Arab accent. I told him I lived in Uz, you know, to scare him a little bit. So he should know not to get into cars, you know, it can be dangerous. So then when they heard this, I said, you know, the boy, his parents, whatever, he said, how could you do such a thing? He says, and they wanted to tavea him that he should have to pay for damages for what happened to this, for the boy. Anyways, that's the question that came up. Is this man chayev or not to pay for the damages? So, first of all, before the actual answer was given, what he did was a terrible, terrible thing. And number one, first of all, who said that this man is responsible to educate this boy? He's not his father. What is he doing? He has to educate him. That's number one. And to do such a dangerous thing and educate him in such a way where as you can not only scare the kid, but they see what happened. The kid had to jump out because of what he almost killed himself. So bad enough that he educated him, and which is not his job, in such a terrible way. And he compares, and he says that we see in Tanakh that even if a person is doing it l'shem shemaim, even if he did it l'shem shemaim, you know, he wanted to teach the kid a lesson, whatever. But we find by Pnina and Chana, right, the Pnina died at Chana, and who didn't have a child, and l'shem shemaim, that she should be upset and daven to Hashem, so she should have a child. So she was mitzayer her with good kavanas l'shem shemaim, but in the end, Hashem punished her. So you see that if you can't shame shemai, but not by hurting somebody. Anyways, so what he did was a terrible thing, and of course he has to, you know, ask mechila and whatever it might be. So that goes without saying. But our question is on a strictly halachic monetary level. Does he halachically have to pay him for his damages? So, where can we find a source for this? Baba Kama. It says over there, Dav Tzadi Yalav, Hamavit et Chavero, Kigon Shetaka Ba'ozno, Umikoach Ebalana, Se Yishcheresh, Hezek, Ze Mugdar Kegrama. So, meaning that if a person screams or whatever in somebody's ear and scares him, and because of the fright, the person went deaf. So, says the Gemara there, that he's pater midine adam. He can't force him in court to pay for him becoming deaf, because it's an indirect damage, it's a grama. And the Gemara explains, hu de avit anafshe, Gemara says. More than that is that since he didn't make him, he scared him, but he took the fright to heart and caused himself to become deaf. Because he didn't have to, you know, he frightened himself, so to speak, the Gemara says. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay midine adam. However, the Gemara says, he's still chayav midine shemaim, because grama is still chayav midine shemaim. So, he has to pay the person anyways, midine shemaim. However, here, that's what we want to compare it over here. He frightened the guy, got damaged, so maybe you should have to pay b'dinei shemaim. One katayna, that is not the same though. Why? Because in the case of in Baba Kama, he scared him, let's say, and then he took that fear to heart and he caused himself to become deaf. Over here, when the person scared the boy, okay, it's not like, and then that he took that scare to heart and then something happened. No, he, after that, he went and he jumped out of the car. That's already a step removed. It's not the scare didn't, in the case of the Baba Kama, he scared him, and then he took it to heart and he got deaf. But here, he not only took it to heart, but then he went and he jumped out. That's already one step removed. So it could be it's not the same. However, Rav Zilberstein tainted that truth is he should be chayev because he says it's even worse. Why? Because in the case of the Baba Kama, when he scared the person, so the Gemara understood that he had no right to, it was like Shaloki, he had no right to take to heart and the fright to such a degree that should cause him to himself to become deaf. So that was what he did. He didn't. It was shlokedin. He called it. He was not. He shouldn't have done that. And therefore, the person that did is not responsible. However, yet we see he is still midin shemai. Here, what the boy did was kedin. I mean, what should a person do when he thinks he's being kidnapped by an Arab, if not jump out of the car? So his actions that he did was proper and kedin. What he should have done. So if, in the case when a person takes to heart, when he shouldn't take to heart, the fright in Baba Kama, there the person that scared him has to pay, Medina Shemayim. Here, when the boy did what he was supposed to do by jumping out of the car, surely he has to pay, Medina Shemayim. And that's how he came out, that in fact he is Chai Medina Shemayim. Next we have a story. It's interesting because it really follows this previous Maisa. A story told from a person in a very high-ranking officer in the army, and told the following. He said when he was a katsin in one of the top units, and he held very secret information, army secret information. He knew because it was high level in the army. And he said, he tells over, that one day he fell into captivity by the enemy, the Arabs. And they knew that who he was and that he had some secret information. So, of course, they did whatever they could do to try to get this information out of him, which involved torturing him, whatever. But he said he refused to give in, and he didn't. He didn't say a word. He didn't give out any of the secret information. Anyways, 3 days went by of torture and this, and he still held his own. Finally, they told him, listen, this is it. We had enough of you. Right? You're going to talk. So we'll give you until tomorrow noon. And if you tell us the information, we'll set you free. If not, that's it. We're just going to kill you on the spot. Nothing to talk about. So that's your ultimatum. Tomorrow by noon, it's either tell us and you get free, or we're going to kill you. And then they put him back in his little cell and to think about it. So he said that he thought about it. And he said, as far as he himself goes, he was willing to be Moser Nefesh and not to give any information. But he thought, to be killed, this already is not only affecting himself, is affecting his wife and his kids. He was married, he was a family man, he had a wife and kids, and he didn't want to leave his wife a widow and his kids orphans. And he said, so I decided that next morning when they asked me again, I'm just going to tell them the information and hopefully be freed, and that's the end of that. So that was his decision. In the meantime, he's sitting there in the cell, and he overhears his captors, the ones that captured him. He was listening and carefully, he overheard them talking in a nearby room. And he was shocked. Why? Because they were talking like regular Israelis. They didn't have an Arab accent. They were nothing. They were talking like regular Israelis. So he says, what? How could that be? These are, the Arabs, they don't talk like that. Even if they talk Hebrew, they can tell they sound like Arabs. Here they're talking fluent Hebrew like Israelis. They didn't sound like Arabic at all. So he said, what's going on? Then he said, he put two and two together. He said, what must be? He said, I thought that because I was unconscious or whatever, and I was taken in captivity. So I came to, and these guys, talking to me in Arabic with Arab accents, whatever. So I assumed I was in Arab hands. But now I see that I'm not. That it was my own army, the Israelis that took me, that saved me, and they had me. But they're just testing me. They want to see if I'm going to be able to, hold back on the information, or whether I'm going where I'd say it over. So they were testing me. So there must be it, because it can't be. What is these Israelis over here? What's going on? So it must be they're just testing me, and I didn't fall into the Arab hands after all. So he says, ah, if that's the case, I know what to do. So the next morning, they, you know, put on their Arab accents again. They said, okay, come with us. And they said, okay. They took out a rifle. They have put it at his head. They said, this is your last chance. Tell us the information or we're going to kill you. So he said, I'm not telling the information. You can go ahead and kill me. I don't care. I'm not talking. Kill me. Do whatever you want. I'm not talking. So then one of the captors, quote unquote, turned to him, put out his hand and said, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. You're going up a rank. You're going up a darga. So sure enough, he was right. This was just the Jewish army. And they were just testing him out to see whether he would be able to hold the information. And he said, Baruch Hashem, I was able to, I withheld and passed the test. And sure enough, I got my extra rank. So he tells over the story. And he says, Baruch Hashem, as time went on, I was zocha to be chozer b'tshuva shleima. And when I, you know, say over this maisa, I like to add a lesson that we can learn from here, a lesson in Musar. What is that? It says, you know, we all are tested regularly. Hashem tests us constantly. And what happens? So sometimes, okay, no big deal, we pass the test. But other times, tests are a test. It's very hard, and we think, it's impossible, I can't handle this, it's too hard, or whatever. But we have to realize that it's all an act, it's all a hatsaga. Just like it was over here when I was in captivity, right? I thought, this is it, they're going to kill me, I can't, I have to give in, and it says I don't want to die, I can't anymore, finish. But I could, why? Because it was, I could pass it, because it was all a test, it wasn't really true, it was all a test. So too, the Yetzer Hara makes you think like, oh, I can't, how can I do this? I can't, it's too much. It's all an act, the Yetzer Hara. But you could do it, just like he could do it, because it wasn't really the Arabs. He could do it. All he said is hang in there and everything is fine. So too, the Gemara says in Kedushin, Shebechol Yom Yitzro Shel Adam Yitzgaber Lo Mevak Shel Ami. So, however, Hashem Lo Yazvenu Miyado. The Yetzer Hara every day tries to kill a person. But Hashem doesn't leave a person. Hashem's there. Hashem doesn't give a test that can't. A person can't pass. He's always there to help you. All you have to do is say, no, I'm not going to give in, like this soldier did. I'm not going to give in. And then everything worked out in the end. As he brings the Psikta Rabasi, he brings the Mashal from the famous beginning of Parsha Shavashuva. We say, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. So the Psikta brings a mashal to the son of a king that he was 100 days journey away from his father. And the loved one said, why don't you go back to your father? And he says, I can't. I really want to, but I can't. I'm so far away. How am I going to get to my father? So his father sent him a message and said, listen, just do whatever you could. Go as far as you can. And then I'll come to you and meet you on the way. So too, Hashem says to Israel, Shuve elai v'shuv aleichem. You come to me, do tshuva, do as best as you can, and don't worry, you'll get to me. How am I going to get there so far, 100 days? Don't worry, do whatever you can. You get 20 days, 30 days, whatever you can do, and then I'll come the rest of the way to meet you. So too, there's no such thing as a test a person can't pass. All the person has to do is to put in the effort and realize that it's all an act on behalf of the Yetzer Hara. If a person does pass the test, then he goes up ranks. He goes up into higher madrigas. And in fact, the Nisayon is from Lashon Nes, which is a flag, a banner. And one Nisayon after another Nisayon, it makes a person grow higher and higher and higher. The flag of the ship goes up and up and up and up until the top. So too, a person is able to pass his tests after realizing that it's all just a test, it's all just an act of the Yetzer Hara. And he tries his hardest and davens to Hashem. Hashem comes to greet him. Then he can reach tremendous, tremendous dargas in Yirush Hashem. We should be all zoicha to pass all our nisyonos. And Hashem should answer back with bringing us the Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimheira B'Yameinu.